Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 29. The Word of God says in verse 14, "The king that faithfully judgeth the poor, his throne shall be established forever. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left unto himself bringeth his mother to shame. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth, but the righteous shall see their fall. Correct your son, and he shall give you rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto your soul. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. A servant will not be corrected by words, for though he understands, he will not answer." The Word of God says that there is a way that God handles us. Our nature is that we are fallen and we are not naturally responsive to the things of God. It is the Holy Spirit in us that makes us responsive to the things of God. The world has a ministry from the Holy Spirit also. It is to be convicted of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Why? So that they will become responsive to the things of God. Now, we are not normally so. But in verse 14, the king that faithfully judges the poor, his kingdom is established forever. This is talking about the Savior. The Savior knows how to judge us. And by judging us, I'm not saying guilty, not guilty, righteous, unrighteous. I'm saying He knows how to correctly evaluate what makes up a man. We are nothing more than dust. We are made up in a way that God understands. He knows our makeup, He knows our history, He knows our past, and He knows how to evaluate our lives. Now, because of these things, He gives the rod of reproof to give wisdom. The rod is doctrine. He corrects me with His Word so that I may have wisdom. Wisdom is knowing what to say, when to say it, how to say it, and so on. What to do, when to do it, how to do it, and so on. These are the aspects of wisdom. He gives me doctrine so that I may have wisdom. And He says, correct your son. In other words, impart doctrine to your son and he will give you rest. How many young people are raised even in churches without doctrine and the parents have no rest? But God says, impart doctrine and there will be rest. Now, this is the key verse here. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. The word perish there means that they rot from the inside. And then they cast off all restraint. When doctrine isn't operating in my life, I start to rot from the inside. It is imperative that a person has vision for whatever area of their life there is. We need vision. Where does vision come from? Vision is hearing God's Word for my situation. Here, vision is not logos, vision is rhema. The unique illumination of God's Word. Vision is when the Holy Spirit reveals to me the things to come and guides me in all truth in John 16:13. This is vision. Whatever situation you find yourselves in, have vision for that situation. I don't care if it seems mundane to you. Have a vision for that situation. If you find yourself at a job, have vision for your job. In other words, have a plan that has been given to you by God on how you will glorify God in that situation. How you will respond to things in that situation. How you are going to think with God in that situation. Well, how do I think with God? I crunch numbers all day. What's that got to do with thinking with God? Everything. It has everything to do with thinking with God. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. You operate before the Lord. You don't operate before man. You operate before God. If you are in a job with a difficult employer, remember something. You're doing your job unto God, not unto the employer. He just pays you. Now that doesn't mean to get hyper-spiritual or weird and start dishonoring the employer by doing things like talking about God while you're supposed to be crunching numbers or whatever you're doing. But it does mean that you let that be a testimony of the faithfulness of God. Why do you think that people will say, this person is different, this Christian is different? They don't know they're a Christian, but this person is different. There's something about them. There's a quality. They work hard. They never complain. They're always smiling. They're always laughing about things. There's a lightness in their heart. Why? Because that person has a vision. That person has been given something from God for their life, for that circumstance. And now they have a vision. The worst thing that can happen to a person in the details of their life is to enter those details with no vision. Why? If they come into it with nothing from God, then they start to rot in that circumstance. This is why we get built up every morning, so that we will have vision. Because if we don't get built up, we will start to rot from the inside in the details of our lives. People rot all the time. How many people, for example, belong in a church, but they don't have a vision for their church? So I'll just show up. Okay, but what's your vision for the ministry that you're in? Well, I don't know. I'll just show up. Well, you're not going to get much out of it then, because you're going to start rotting while you're in it. But how about asking God for something from His mind, His heart, towards that church or towards the body of Christ? And it doesn't have to be in a church. How about getting something from God, from His mind, from His heart, toward the detail you're working on? You're a mechanic and you're fixing cars. How about getting something from God, from His heart, His mind, about how to be a mechanic that glorifies Him? Can you imagine if Christians operated in such a way that they had vision, how that would transform the world? People would look at them and say, oh my God, that's the best mechanic on the face of this planet. I'm going to take my car to him every time. Remember one time we hired a plumber. He advertised himself as being a Christian. He wasn't very good. And in the end, he tried to rip us off a little bit. But he advertised himself to be a Christian. I'm a Christian. I thought, man, I don't know if I want to hire another Christian. And I'm a Christian. Can you imagine what that would do to the lost and dying world? Where a plumber says, yeah, I'm a Christian, but I'm going to rip you off. I'm a Christian, but I'm not really going to do what I said I would do. Why? No vision. No vision. This guy was charging, he wanted to charge for things that he didn't say he would charge for. Why? No vision. Always operate with a vision in your life, because that's where God is glorified and that's where you are preserved. You see, rotting from the inside doesn't always mean that I'm starting to decompose. Rotting from the inside means that I'm not operating in God's character. And when I do operate outside of God's character, I do enter into a death situation. So I need to learn in all my details to operate in God's character. How can I operate in God's character? I receive it. What if you have a person who's in a spot and they can't operate in God's character? Well, then they start meditating on the aspects of God's character. They start fellowshipping with His mind about who He is. Let's say you have a person who's a little bit cold and they don't love people. Then they start meditating on the love of God towards them. Not towards the people, but towards them. It's often a question of brokenness. Without brokenness, vision will not often be manifested. Why? Because without brokenness, there's a cover on the candle. You see, that brokenness part is important. When I meditate on the love of God, it will break me. Why do you think that Jesus said about the woman who was washing his feet with her tears and her hair? Why do you think she said, "She that sinned much loved much"? Because when she saw the kindness of God, in contrast to her life, it completely broke her. And vision poured out. People despise the breaking process. Have a vision for your breaking process. If I simply go through a breaking process with no vision, I'll call it cruelty. But it's not. But I will see it as being cruel or harsh, unkind, because I don't see what it really is. I see it as a difficult thing, and God says it's a vital process. Don't despise your breaking process. Without it, Christ will never be revealed. Pastor Stevens once said, the number one problem with American churches is a lack of brokenness in their pulpits. Why? Because without that brokenness, people won't see Jesus. Have a vision for your breaking process. Know that if you are in a something that can break you, that will break you. That something glorious comes out of it. Know that God has ordained from the foundation of the world that very process. And the purpose of it was not to damage you. The purpose of it was to break you. See, there's a difference between being broken and being damaged. If I resist the processes of God, I become damaged. I become wounded. If I allow the processes of God to break me, I become whole. A believer was never made to be whole in and of themselves. A believer was made to be able to reveal the light of God's character. Without a vision for your breaking process, you will see it as simply nothing more than difficult circumstances. You'll lose the point. Have a vision for your friendships. Don't get into friendships or relationships of any sort without vision. Because if you have no vision in your friendships and your relationships, they're going to be nothing more than personality rapport. Because they'll be, in your own estimation, no other purpose for them. But when God adds people to you, and I'm not necessarily talking spouses, I'm just saying when God adds people to you, they are because it is more glorious to God that they be there with you than not. It is because the kingdom is furthered more when you are with them than when you are without them. This is why in my own life I have to be careful who I allow into my life. Not that I wouldn't minister and love people, but who will I receive from? Because does it fulfill God's purpose? You're here for one reason, to be conformed to His image. Does it fulfill that purpose? Does the iron sharpen iron? Or is it a couple of wet noodles kind of going at it? allow there to be a vision in your friendships. Don't become casual with your friends to the point where you never glorify God. Where you chatter about things that are meaningless. I'm not saying that you can't talk about other things. Of course you can. But do you ever talk about God? Is God at the center of those other things when you are talking football? Is God at the center between you? You can talk football all you like. But what is in the heart between you? Is it football or is it God as you're talking football? Have a vision for your relationships. Allow them to be defined by doctrine. Have a vision for these things. Have a vision for your job. Have a vision for your family. Have a vision for your kids. And kids, have a vision for your parents. Have a vision. How many people have no vision for their own lives? Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm not saying you have to know every detail, but can you say what God has, what is in God's heart? Well, no, I don't know. Then go to Him and find out. Do you even have any idea of a call? Well, I don't know where I'm called. What is a call? There's a call? How many believers are completely clueless about a call? They have no vision. Do you know why people leave churches and they jump from church to church? They go one place, stay a year, go to another place, stay 2 years, go to a third place, stay 6 months, go to another place, stay 3 years. They have no vision. And so they're wandering around however it feels wherever they arrive. Because there is no vision. Without vision, there is no stability. Have a vision. For everything in your life, have a vision. Are you at school? Do you have a vision for this? Or are you simply going to school because you want a job? Now, there's nothing wrong with being in school and getting a job. But do you have a vision? Do you have a thought in your mind of how am I going to glorify God here? How can I win some of these lost people I'm surrounded by? How can I express the character of God to these people? Or am I just there to sit in my little seat and read my little book and answer my test questions and get my little grade and go on and get my diploma? Is that really the extent of your experience there? Really? That's going to perish. Have a vision. Does your school, even if it's a secular school, does it sharpen you with God? Well, no, it really drains me. I know that experience. No, it really drains me. Then get a vision. Do you recognize your class as a mission field? If you're in college, do you recognize that the campus is a mission field? Have a vision. How many students, I'm not going to ask you guys to raise your hands, but how many students have never given out a tract or shared the gospel with another student? If they're in a secular setting. Why? Did you have a vision? Did you have a purpose outside of simply figuring something out that's worldly and going to pass away anyway? Was that the purpose? If it is, you've shortchanged yourself. Have a vision. Are you, let's say you're working on it, young people. Young people do jobs that older people often don't want. Flip burgers, dig holes, put down trees, whatever. I'm not saying those are bad jobs, and certainly, you know, landscapers, there's some very good, successful landscapers. But you understand what I'm saying. It's the difference between being the landscaper and the guy digging the hole, having the landscaper tell him what to do. Folks, if that's you, do you have a vision? You're flipping burgers. Do you have a lot of you were burger flippers for a little while, right? You have a vision for flipping burgers? How do you get a vision for flipping burgers? I'm just trying to get the grease out of my face. Yeah, but do you have a vision? Do you have a way that in your heart God is going to be glorified there? Do you have a way in your heart that the people who work with you will see Him? And I'm not saying that you necessarily even have to say much. If you're a teacher, do you have a way that in your own heart, in your own mind, do you have a life with God where the kids see a difference in your life even though you can't speak about God to them necessarily? But all of a sudden they just simply know? Or is it just a way to collect a paycheck to make a bill so that they don't turn off your electricity? That's not vision. If you have a vision, you often don't even have to say anything. The character of God in you will be manifested because of your vision. Have a vision. Always have a vision. I remember that one guy, I can't remember his name now off the top of my head. 16 years old, he goes to prison. Stays there, I think it was something like 12 years. Gets out of prison, and all he can find is a job flipping burgers. And he's decided, okay, fine, this is the best I can do. He got saved in prison. This is the best I can do. I'm going to be the best one there is. Why? Glorify God. And he was. And they made him an assistant manager. So I'm going to be best one there is. And he was. And they made him a manager. So I'm going to be best one there is. And he was. And they made him a zone director. And he thought, why am I a zone director? I can open up my own place. And he did. And he said, this is going to be the best little burger flipping restaurant in this area and that anybody's ever seen. And it was. And he opened up a second place. And a third place. And a fourth place. The man's a multi-millionaire, supporting things, you know, all kind of charities and missionaries and giving money to students for schools. Why? He had a vision. He had a vision. Last thing you want to do is sit in a place with no vision because you will rot there. Always have a vision. The circumstance or the detail of what you're doing is irrelevant. In your eyes, it may be big or small, but as to the effect on the kingdom that it can have, big or small means nothing. What makes a difference is, do you have a vision? If God ever calls you perhaps on the mission field, are you going to have a vision? Are you just going to be there to show up and do your thing? Or are you actually going to have a vision for that? This is a mission field. Guys, I don't know whether you realize it or not. They speak English here, so maybe you don't realize it. I don't know, but I think most of you do. Do you have a vision for the mission field you are on right now? Because this is a mission field. You know what it always amazes me is Bible students, and we were the same way, and I'm not. This isn't a criticism, this is just an observation. Bible students are so impressed by the awesome. Big, flashy, glitzy, high profile. And that's fine, and thank God for those things. But there was a day when it was on the cutting edge. You know what I mean? There was a day when it was a pioneer work and not a comfortable one. There was a day when it required faith without sight and not simply a splash. Now, I'm not saying that those things in and of themselves are splashes or meaningless. But that's how those things get treated sometimes. Why? No vision. If you got, you know, those people in Bible college, and I'm not necessarily just talking to our people, I'm talking about anybody who's listening. The people in Bible college, if God calls you to where you are and it's big established work, great, be very faithful to it. But don't discount the small work that's pioneered. Because without the pioneers, nothing else happens. We learn about the great missionaries, Adoniram Judson. Wow, what a guy. You know, you're wowing what a guy, a book about a pioneer, who's, in whose experience he had one person show up. Would you be so wow if that happened to you? Or would you say nothing's happening here? No vision. Or maybe you would say, hey, this is a great move of God. There's six people in a hole in the floor, but this is a great move of God. This is going to go into all the world, and there's going to be radio and television and Bible colleges and day schools and bus ministry and missionaries and churches all over the world with your six people. Can you imagine when Pastor Stevens was in that situation? I wonder, I don't know, but I wonder, was everybody there like, yes, amen? Or did some people say, hey, this is six people in a hole in the floor. What are you talking about? That's the difference between a vision and a lack thereof. Do you have a vision? Or is the simple mundane? Is that which doesn't look like much by sight boring to you? You know, when the first settlers came here, it didn't look like a whole lot. There were just a bunch of Europeans who didn't even know how to survive. But without them, nothing else would have happened. They had a vision. Let me ask you guys, do you have a vision? Do you have a vision? Or is it simply something that you do? If it's simply something that you do, you'll rot. But if you have a vision, then you'll see the glory of God, and God will be glorified. People often don't have a vision because they operate by sight. Small, not much, no flash. Or on the other hand, big, been there, done that, boring. Neither one is right. The question is not whether big or small, starting or established. The question is, do you have a vision? Amen?